Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, the best bits of this afternoon show, where we had a fairly diverse chat. And we also talked to a mountaineer who told us, well, I saw an incredible picture earlier on that led me to think that we can have an interesting conversation with a mountaineer. And I'd like to think we did.
Yes. I did question his whole existence, but yeah. You know, these things happen.
This bloke's achieved so much, but Andy doesn't think he has, apparently. But anyway, you'll hear all of that right now. It is approaching 8 minutes past one. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, everybody. And the sculptor who, I found this out this morning, who created the much-maligned George Best statue.
Yeah.
It's called Tony Curry. I don't know if Alan Birchall gave him a full-on kiss during the unveiling.
I've got no idea. You do feel, I mean, they're pilloried, I think is the word. It's an absolute coating, that statue. We spoke to an expert yesterday who said it's terrible. And so many people have been saying what it looks like, none of which is George Best, unfortunately. Yeah. I looked at it again, and it looks like so many people. Steve Perriman, Stuart Weir was in touch, wasn't he, told us yesterday. It looks like Willie Morgan. He used to play for the club.
They had a kind of look about them. But, the same,
But it doesn't look like...
Well,
must
the
be
family,
so
and the sculptor was defending it, and he says the family are happy with it, and somebody who played with George is happy with it. So, you know, look, it's all in the eye of the beholder, as they say.
You put so much... I mean, this is not something you knock up in 5 minutes. It's so much of their time and work have gone into that, and it's been slaughtered.
It's obviously taken from a photo. I think that's where the problems
start.
But
sadly, not of George Best. Imagine that, because, hang on, let's look at this. Blimey, it is. It's Willie Morgan.
That's what could have happened.
Yeah.
Today's oddly named race is the 355 at Haydock.
Yeah.
It's the George Formby Birthday Novice Fillies Handicap. And I was thinking, does someone go down to the finish and sing, I'm leaning on the winning post?
Yeah.
In the George Formby style.
So that's a real race, is it?
Yeah. I wouldn't make it up. It would be absolutely pointless thing to make
you've
up.
You've made up other stuff, haven't you, for the sake of gags?
Terrible, isn't it? And one of the odd things I've never understood about Theresa May is the choice of her racy shoes. Did you see them in the sun this morning, those sort of leopard skin plimsolls she was wearing?
But yeah, she wears a lot of leopard skin shoes.
Never is someone's choice of footwear less reflected their personality. It's really odd, I think.
Yeah.
You'd think she'd be a sensible shoes person.
Maybe it's a display. Yeah, she'd buy them from Hotter.
So Diego Jota.
No, not Diego Jota. Yeah, Diego Jota's got his own travelling shoe shop. Good. He can just look at you and tell what size you are.
Okay.
But somebody did that on the last hangman in this country, Albert Pierpont. It was a letter to the Telegraph. I'm sorry, it's been quite upbeat for a Friday, this. Our own Bob Mills co-wrote with Jeff Pope a brilliant film about Albert Pierpont with Tim Spaulding. Very good, if you haven't seen it. But he had this macabre skill. I'm just thinking, Diego Jota can look down and say, say seven, say his name. He can't really, does he? He's not in the shoe business. But Albert Pierpont, apparently, this person knew him, and he could walk around and know
collar size.
But more or less, he could tell their height and weight just looking at them, because obviously that's what he had to, that was the equation he would have to do before he did the business. But quite a macabre skill, but anyway, we digress.
Do you think anybody ever said to him, do you fancy a game of hangman? Probably not.
Well, no, they wouldn't while away the time, really, between... Anyway, it's just very dark.
Very dark.
Move on.
The odds of making it as a Premier League player are the same, apparently, as being struck by a meteorite. And I was thinking, is that actually true? I mean, we've got 500 players in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Have 500 people been struck by a meteorite? Not a meter.
Not struck by a meter.
Don't know what a meter. Well, it might
it's possible. I mean, look, if that's the odds, Andy, that's the odds. So somewhere over the years,
in the entire world.
Yeah, people have been struck. But I mean, imagine that. Imagine signing forms at a club, holding up the shirt, having the picture, then just leaving the training ground being stuck by a meter.
No.
But the only upside was maybe your folks had a tenner on it. Again, this is all a bit dark, isn't it? I didn't intend to go down this route.
And finally, in this section from me, this brilliant waste of ink from the in the Sun this morning from Colin Vaughan in Southampton. This is such a strange letter.
Yeah,
he says, "I'm sure Davina McCall's new love interest, hairdresser Michael Douglas, is very talented at his job. Getting together with Davina will be great for his business. The salon will be packed when people see the two of them out and about looking stylish." Why do you care about his hairdressing salon? What about his wife? For goodness sake.
Oh, okay. Well, blimey. Yeah.
It's very strange.
Standing up for sisterhood there.
Well, that's me.
Beautifully done, Andy. Always, always you. You're just so in tune, aren't you?
I am.
You're so woke.
Woke. Not Chris Woke.
No, not Chris. I knew that was going to happen.
Did it?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, I opened up the Telegraph today to this quite amazing picture. Piece by Ben Farmer, and it's 200 to 300 climbers waiting to get to the summit of Everest, just standing there.
It is a great photo.
It says, waiting patiently in single file, exhausted and within touching distance of their goal. Hundreds of climbers this week became stuck for hours in a human traffic jam near the summit of the world's highest peak. They're hanging around in over 8,000 metres, which is dangerous and difficult. Just to kind of reach their goal. Joining us now to give us some insight into how often this kind of thing happens and why it's happened this time. It's a man that's been at the top of Everest. In fact, he's in a select band of people who've climbed 14 8,000 metre plus peaks. Alan Hinks, OBE, joins us. Hi, Alan.
Morning. Well, lunchtime now, isn't it? Yeah.
Cool. I mean, have you seen this? Have you seen this picture? This may be quite common amongst climbers to see this image, but it does look quite amazing.
Yeah, not as amazing as the weather here, isn't it? The mountains today. it does look amazing. I saw it a couple of days ago. I've seen pictures like this before where there's been a couple of hundred people as well. It happens most years now. The reason being you get literally a few hundred people attempting Everest, and there literally is only a handful of days when you can summit, you know, because the rest of the time it's too cold, too windy, or too avalanche prone. So they're all going to try on the same day. So, don't know how many people will be there tomorrow, but not as many, I wouldn't have thought. And come June, there'll be nobody till next May. It'll be completely empty.
So it was a break in the weather, really, that allowed these people to go for it at this point.
Yeah, it looks pretty good, the weather, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Mind having said that, it'll still be minus 20, I'd have thought, and you are in the death zone. It sounds like I'm being dramatic here, but it is a death zone. You know, if they hung around too long, they would just die. You know, you can't live there or hang around like they are in that picture for more than, well, a couple of days, you know, 48 hours at the most. But a lot of people die, you know, within several hours just because of the lack of oxygen, the lack of air pressure and the cold, you know.
Well, a couple did die, didn't they? I mean, a couple were been up there and were starting to make the descent, and one of the Sherpas said, sadly, it was a man and a woman, the woman had died effectively of exhaustion. They'd got up there and then she couldn't get down again. I mean, so...
Well, I'm a guide myself and I have actually guided Everest as well. In fact, I worked as a cameraman many years ago filming Everest on an attempt by Brian Blessed as well. In those days, there was a lot less. That's 20 years ago, just over. So thankfully I did it when the queues weren't quite as bad, shall we say. But would I now guide somebody? You know, would I be one of them guides with a client in that queue? I doubt it. You know, I'm putting my own life in danger just to hang around for a few hours. So you wonder about the duty of care of any guides that are with them, really. But what can you do? I guess they give them more oxygen, they make sure they've got warm clothes, and it's an achievement of a lifetime for people to do. There's still only about 7,000 people ever summited Everest, which is... So it's a good achievement, isn't it?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I've got two questions, really. Are the numbers problematic? Because you hear a lot about the litter. I think this is a base camp. The place can look, you know, quite terrible. And also... As so many people have done it, what is then the achievement of doing it? I mean, I can't quite see the point of it. To be really honest,
it's personal achievement. It's not. Yeah, it's not it being I mean, the first, could, but I imagine it's personal achievement, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I'm saying that 7,000 people, only 7,000 people have ever done it. Well, on a sunny summer's Saturday, well, maybe this Saturday coming tomorrow, you could get 7,000 people on Snowdon in one day. Never mind 200. Snowdon is even busier. Why do people want to do Snowdon? Well, it's the highest mountain in England and Wales. It's an achievement. So people do want to stand on the highest mountain on Earth, I guess. So it is an achievement. And they are risking life and limb. And well, certainly limb, you can get frostbite and have bits chopped off. So I guess it is still an achievement, even though it looks like it's not much fun in a queue, doesn't it?
Yeah.
They could do it, you know, in a couple of weeks' time. There'll be nobody there. But then, you know, the weather might not be as good, so there's not as much chance of summiting. So they're paying the money and taking the chance now, shall we say.
Alan, the people that are going to... We see these people in this picture at the very top. They will get there, they will have their pictures taken, they will take it in. But they will feel a duty, won't they? They won't tarry a while. Well, they won't spend much time up there because they know there's people behind them suffering that want to get there as well. So will the moment possibly be spoilt? Will you feel, because of that responsibility, you get off the top as quickly as you can?
Well, you do anyway. Yeah. Even when I was up there alone, I didn't spend more than 5 minutes there. So I say you're in one of the most hostile places, in fact, the most hostile place on the planet. You know, you're more out there than if you're orbiting space in that International Space Station, because technologically there's nothing anyone can do for you. It's too high for helis. The highest a heli can get is about 6,500 metres. There's no rescue teams. So in actual fact, whether there's a queue waiting or not, you only spend 5 or 10 minutes on the top and then get the hell out of Dodge, really, before you die.
Well, in his intro there, Paul was saying that you'd climbed 14 peaks. I mean...
Over 8,000, yeah, 8,000 metres, yeah.
So what the original achievement of Sir Edmund Hillary back in 53 when he was the first man to climb it, what did he do and how does that compare to doing 14 peaks? I would have thought there was just one peak. There's one top of the Everest, isn't there?
Yeah, well, Everest is the highest, but in the metric sort of thing, there's only 14 mountains over 8,000 metres, and that's because the metre is a certain length. If someone had deemed, which I think was a Frenchman, that a metre would be slightly longer than it is, there's an official metre in Paris, a bit of metal. That bit of metal had been deemed to be a bit longer, there wouldn't have been 14, there'd have been 8 or 9. That would have been great, should I say. It took me 17 years to do all these 14, but it's a quantifiable achievement, dare I say, mountaineering, because it's based on that unit of measurement, the metre, just as the 4-minute mile is quantifiable in athletics, based on the unit of measurement, the mile, you know, except the mile, running the mile isn't as dangerous, but not many people have done it, have they?
Alan, finally, I met a climber a few years ago, and I was quite surprised by just how expensive it is to get to the top of Everest. I mean, you maybe tell us the going rate now, but it's a huge amount of money, isn't it?
Yeah, if you want to, you know, go with someone who's got a good duty of care to make sure you stay alive and don't get frostbite, there are British companies like Jagged Globe, which is based in Yorkshire as it happens, but then I'm not sure what they are. You'd have to Google it. But I think they probably charge 40 to 50,000-ish sterling. That's all in with everything. But because you have to pay a permit to the Ministry of Tourism in Nepal, it's their little gold mine, their oil well, their steelworks there, I say. You know, it's what they make the money of, Nepal. They haven't got anything else, so they don't really want to restrict numbers, if you see what I mean.
The guy I met, he kind of ballparked 70, 80,000 with everything in, and I was quite surprised at that. But
I mean, if you use bottled oxygen, that costs $6,000 by the time you plug into it. It usually comes from Russia because they have less health and safety, so they'll squeeze more in a bottle, and then it has to get to Nepal, then it has to get to base camp, then it has to get to the place on the mountain you want to plug in to use bottled oxygen. So by the time you've got that, even just one bottle of oxygen can cost you several thousand dollars.
Wow. Look, amazing stuff, Alan. I really appreciate you joining us. Thanks very much.
It's not as mucky as people make out, should I say. Base camp does have a little bit of litter, but that's probably more from the trekkers that go there than the climbers. I should just finally say we take only photographs and leave only footprints.
Yeah, that's lovely. Good to hear. Yeah. Cheers, Alan. Thank you very much.
Cheers, bye.
Alan Hinks there.
40 grand.
I think you made it fairly clear there, Andy, that you don't see the point.
No. I'm a social climber. Does that count?
Yeah, you certainly are. But we must do a show from there.
No, we must.
The top of Everest.
I cannot think of any worse thing to do in life. And what a waste of money. But that's me. I mean, look, you know, if you want to do it, it's fine. It's a free world, et cetera.
But sometimes you can do things. You can do things for
40 grand to do something that other people have done. People go, all right, did you? You've been there for 5 minutes. I can't see it myself.
You don't see that any context in which personal achievement, you have to be the first, otherwise there's no point. Once it's been done once...
I'd rather go and stay at Sandy Lane in Barbados.
Okay. Well, other people have done that, so what's the point? Surely the minute Michael Winner spent a week there and Simon Cowell rocked up, there was no point going there, jet ski?
No point at all.
Go and check that picture out. I mean, you think these people are standing there thinking they must be shouting... Come on! Really? We're freezing here, mate! The sort of thing you do when you're in a queue, waiting for match tickets. But you actually are freezing there, and it's a matter of life and death.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Anything else, Andy, do you want to bring up this afternoon? You've lost your notes. What have you done with them?
No, not those notes. The notes about the guests and all that. But this tweet from... I'm just about to read it. It's gone. Oh, no, Mark Cartley said, I was really proud of running the London Marathon 3 years ago till Andy just notified me it was pointless. As loads of other people have already done it. Look, you know, I'm only sort of teasing. I've got a thing about that.
What other things do you regard as pointless?
The marathon isn't pointless because it raises so much money for
charity. So does a lot of mountaineering. I mean, those 200 people queuing there some of them would have been.
Sponsored, yeah.
Well, I mean, don't you remember? We had Sir Ranulph Fiennes in the studio. And to fair play to you, you're willing to say this to people's faces because we had a chat with him. This is the man who went up his own shed and sawed his finger off when it went black. You know, this is... He stared at you, didn't he? And you said, it's always a question I wanted to ask someone in your position, Sir Ranulph, what's the point? And he said, well, I've raised £10 million for charity. And you went, oh, okay, fair enough. Yeah. So that was a very short conversation.
As David English and the Bunburys.
Right, okay, yeah, fair enough.
Great news for Alan Brazil. Environmentalists.
Disney's closed.
No.
Disney's closed for the day.
Environmentalists have called for everyone to work a 9-hour week to save the planet.
Oh, yeah.
That's only 2 1/3 shows for him. That's fantastic. Yeah. So
won't affect his hours then, will it?
Not really.
I wouldn't think so. Good news for Richard Ashcroft
I saw this.
Front man of the Verve. For many years, he's not been able to watch football on the telly. On ITV, because every time they play Bittersweet Symphony, he'd be gutted because they'd be playing his song, effectively, and he wouldn't see any of the proceeds of it. Yeah. But he's reached agreement. Actually, the Stones, Keith Richard and Mick Jagger, have decided, the writers of that particular section you hear from Can't Always Get What You Want, big string section there.
Yeah, but I went on Spotify and listened to the original by Andrew Oldham and his orchestra, and it is just that song. It's just that song, the same...
It's the streams, but then, you know, they. Yeah. I mean, we can have a whole conversation about sampling, and there's quite a lot of song. You could have taken that up with a heavy the other day if you were in that climbing mode.
No, I'm not.
But, you know, people take on a riff, don't they? They take on a song and they take it in a different direction. But they've reached agreement. So he can now watch football again. He said, they played Bittersweet Symphony before England play, so I can sit back now and watch England and finally enjoy the moment.
Good. Well, yeah. That's nice. What's his name? Dell wrote to the Star. With
Did he
this
really?
One. He says, I'm a lifelong Chelsea fan, and I can't understand why the fans do not back Sarri. We're playing decent football. We should let him get on with the job.
What
games have you been watching, mate?
Yeah.
You know, success, but not...
some great news today. I'm sure you would have seen this. Mickey Thomas, former United and Chelsea winger, had been having treatment for stomach cancer, and he had a tumour removed. He's been having chemo, and he says he's pleased to announce he's cancer-free. It's gone very well. So that's brilliant, Mick. Thank you for letting everybody know. That's brilliant news, and we're all really chuffed to hear that, because he's joined us on TalkSport over the years, isn't he?
No,
he's always good value. He's always a really interesting guy, so that was great to hear.
I do feel for our entrant in the Eurovision Song Contest, really. He's discovered they've recalibrated the scoring, and he scored actually less, even less than he thought he had.
I know, yeah, that's right.
Did they have to tell him? Couldn't they just left
But
it?
Don't you think that's just, you know, as we said, they've got their reasons why in Europe they've got a problem with us, but that's a bit twisting the knife there, yeah, isn't
I thought,
it, really?
I thought it was a bit unnecessary.
They could have let it ride. Yeah, yeah. Someone would have had that conversation and said, look, do we have to tell him? And they've gone, yeah, go on, tell him. Tell him. Also, what else we got today? Clive Mendonca has apologised after all these years from the infamous Sunderland-Charlton game, which is replayed, of course, over the weekend. He went to school with Mickey Gray. They were both at the same school together. Did you see Mick's story today? They went to Greece, didn't they, to try and forget about it, him and some of the Sunderland boys. He walks into the first bar, and there's Clive Mendonca with his missus sitting there. But
he says he's been reminded about it every 3 days.
Yeah.
But one thing I was
reading... celebrated. There's that gun celebration when he scored his penalty.
Yeah, yeah,
that's what it was. And that's what... He had, you know, a few of his old Sunderland mates got annoyed. So it's taken him 21 years to apologise, he has.
But the thing is, with Michael, you hear a lot about Michael Gray's penalty miss, and a lot of people remind him of it, but you don't hear so much they actually went on to win the title the following year.
They did, yeah. You know, that's right. They did go on and
there was
win
a bit of redemption there. An offer from Danbury Mint, the good people at Danbury Mint.
Yep.
You can now wear, because four finalists in Europe's top competitions, you may not know that, and you can now wear the officially licensed stainless steel club bracelet. I don't know about you, but I do love stainless steel for jewellery. It's my favourite material.
Is that what you hanker for, is it, really?
No, gold and silver. Let's go stainless steel.
Yeah, old English vinyls, Del Boy once said. That's always a joy.
That's always good.
ITV, it's official, isn't it?
Yes.
ITV will replace BT Sport. They're going to share the FA Cup with the Beeb. So it's going to be free to air from 2021. 4-year deal. They're going to show 20 live matches and also show the Community Shield from the first round to the final. So it's probably going to be good for the competition.
There's also talk of Sky possibly offering the Nations League final as a free-to-air offering. Because at the moment it's on Sky. Fair enough, they bought the competition.
If England get there, you think? If England get to the final.
Yeah. Well, obviously, yeah. But, I mean, I'm presuming they're going to.
Oh, they've got to beat the Dutch.
They have. You forget that Portugal and Switzerland are in the other half. I don't know why.
Do you think it was just one match?
No, I don't know. Just thinking about that one game. But and what Wolves fans will be pleased. They've got four people in the Portugal squad.
Yeah. That'd be good. I mean, look, it's only a week's worth of football, and there will be a fairly meaningless third place game. But... looking forward to it. Let's hope England can beat Dutch. I think they will, actually.
I think Gareth Southgate's hoping that if they get to the final, that Sky do this, because obviously, you know, better for being more people will see it. So
yeah,
I think a lot of TV companies, sports now, are realising that you've got to give a little bit of it. If you want, you know, A, you get the better figures. B, it's great for the sport because people take part.
Does it work as a sort of sampler? I mean, are there people that get a free BT game or a free Sky game like that and think, you know what, it's about time I invested? Maybe there are a bunch of people out there
who think
the coverage, because it's excellent. Both channels do it brilliantly, but you know, not everybody can afford to pay the subs.
No, that's true. And this is it's all a bit of front here. Somebody nicked 11th century stones from Cardiff Castle. Bad enough.
Yeah.
Then at the front to put them on eBay. What's the point of that? I mean, surely you must get caught if you do that, or you're bound to.
Well, I would imagine so. Yeah, it's not the smartest move, is it?
I suppose they're not that easy to fence on the 11th. Yeah, mate, go in the pub.
Well, you can make a wall. I don't know about a fence.
11th century stones.
Yeah, yeah. Hello, mate. What you got there then? 11th century stones, Cardiff Castle. What do you reckon? Well, I don't quite know what I'd do with them. Do what you like with them, mate.
In the
11th
garden.
Century. Yeah, put them in the garden. And make a water feature of them.
Well, that would be nice. Yeah. Europe's biggest pinball arcade has opened in Nuneaton.
This is just an M finally story. You've got nothing to add to that.
No, I have. I might have a tilt at it. Thanks.
Oh, there we go. Oh, blimey, wish you hadn't added to it. It's all kicked off in the world of bowls today, if you've seen this.
Oh, yeah, we were going to do something on this.
Well, we haven't, so I'll do it now. The English Bowling Federation, or the EBF, as we call it.
Oh, yeah.
Became a sexism row. They have become embroiled in, apparently, because the country's oldest national bowling organisation have said that men can wear tailored shorts to play or trousers, but women can't.
It's pathetic.
Yeah.
Honestly, these people have been living on another planet. Why would you think that's acceptable in this day and age to differentiate between men and women? Why can't women wear shorts on a bowling green? That is absolutely ridiculous. You're just asking for trouble. Didn't somebody say to him, "Look, mate, you can't do that"? People would go mad.
Female, they would have said, "Don't call me mate." Female players may only wear cropped tailored
they probably
shorts.
Would have said that, actually.
Probably a below the knee or a double pleated skirt, which I know you're a big fan of, Andy.
Yeah,
that covers the knees while competing, but they can't wear the tailored.
They are allowed to smoke a pipe, like David Bryant.
I don't. They are. I don't think that's true.
Okay.
So I think a lot of people who think it's a bad idea. So if you're going to encourage young people to play the game, take the stuffiness out of it. But the Federation's national president, you want to know what they said? Is this all kicking off in bowls? Mm. To change the rules of women's dress, a female Federation bowler would have to put forward a motion to be voted on at the annual meeting. There has not been any proposals by women for any...
The people that go into sports administration. Yeah, well, it's a certain type, isn't it?
It's par for the course, isn't it?
It is.
The FA, for example. Anyway, we'll leave it there, shall we? There we are. That was this afternoon's show. We're not here next week. Andy will be back next Thursday playing cricket with our good friends at Green King on the day the Cricket World Cup gets underway. I'll be live from Madrid next Saturday afternoon with Andy Goldstein and back here on Tuesday the... What will it be? Fourth, probably. Anyway, that Tuesday. So, thanks for downloading us. We'll catch up with you soon.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode. And even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.